So badly that even Mark Penn, Hillary's pollster supporter, went off on the ABC debate moderators for coming prepared clearly to fact check Trump. Watching his previous debates, watching his stump speeches, came fully prepared to fact check Trump as if they were participants in the debate.
That's exactly what I was thinking driving in this morning, Tara. It's amazing you mentioned that that way, because I was thinking, how is it that you just happen to have the, you claim the documentation that what the president, well, the former president said was not factual? How is it that you knew that, and you had this information right there in front of you?
And Penn saying, look, they came prepared.
Yes.
And when you, okay, when you're looking at previous debates, and again, Mark Penn, like I said, is a Hillary person, and, you know, he's saying this is getting ridiculous. When you have the debate moderators, okay, and they are watching Trump's previous debates, watching his stump speeches, and fact checking him, they're preparing for the debate. They're preparing as if they are debaters. Mm-hmm.
Well, they
which
are.
They did.
They are.
Which they did. And you know who nailed this? Greg Gutfeld.
LA Times.
Nailed this. Sorry about that. Greg Gutfeld nailed this on Fox News when he said this.
Kamala confidently and casually unloaded all the hoaxes. The Fine People hoax, the bloodbath, Project 2025, the abortion ban. These things have all been debunked. Would she have done that knowing that there would be consequences? She did that knowing there would be no consequences, no follow-ups at all. This was actually a betrayal of knowledge. Knowledge being the act of solving a problem. And we had agreed to what the problem was. Who is Kamala? The debate deliberately chose the opposite path.
He's right about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And when you have Mark Penn saying that, that this is, I mean, he's a Democrat. This is way over the edge. And there were no fact checks of Kamala. There were five brutal fact checks of Trump. And now that the actual media, not the pretend media, but the actual media is fact checking that debate, it is devastating the lies she was able to get away with. I mean, it's so bad. You have the CEO of Goldman Sachs having to come out because ABC won't do it and saying she lied. She lied when she said we had endorsed her economic plan. Yet she knew she'd be able to spew that stuff because she somehow knew she wasn't getting fact checked.
Some of the top economists in our country and in the world have reviewed these plans. Goldman Sachs, for example, has said that my plan would grow our economy and his plan would shrink the economy, that his plan would reignite inflation and send us into a recession by the middle of next year.
That is Vice President Harris saying Goldman Sachs endorses her economic plan, but the company's CEO is debunking that claim.
Vice President Harris obviously first made that claim about Goldman Sachs endorsing her economic plan at the debate, obviously, on Tuesday night. She continued saying it at a rally in North Carolina yesterday. But the company's CEO, David Solomon, he says that the analysis that she's referring to is not as big of a deal as she's making it for them.
I think a lot more has been made of this than should be. What the report did is it looked at a handful of policy issues that have been put out by both sides, and it tried to model their impact on GDP growth. And the reason I say a bigger deal has been made of it is what it showed is the difference between the sets of policies that they put forward was about 0.2%.
So that's David Solomon, again, CEO of Goldman Sachs. So, and look, those margins, those numbers were so small. So when you come out and say, I've got this endorsement, it was a little disingenuous for her to kind of phrase it that way or present it that way.
Yeah, a little disingenuous. Cheryl Cassoni's always so understated. Yeah, well. But a little disingenuous when the CEO of Goldman Sachs has to call you out. And get this, okay, here's what she was thinking. The Goldman Sachs, they donate almost exclusively to Democrats, whether it's the money that their CEOs and leaders fundraise or their company PAC, which employees can give to. It's almost exclusively to Democrats. These are Democrat donors. She just figured they'd let her lie. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. And that was, by the way, Lee, only the beginning. It was so bad by the end of it, you needed fact checkers to fact check the moderator.
Yeah.
David Muir here got this. He stopped Trump to fact check him on those FBI crime stats. And it was David Muir who needed to be fact checked, and Trump fact checked him. And Lee, we've got a set of stats out this morning that is mind-boggling for crime. A 37% increase in violent crime. In other words, David Muir got it wrong. Trump got it right and fact-checked him in the middle of the debate. This is ridiculous. Take a listen.
Never been anything done like this at all. They've destroyed the fabric of our country. Millions of people let in. And all over the world, crime is down. All over the world except here. Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But Vice
excuse
President
me,
Harris,
the FBI defrauded. They were defrauding statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime. It was a fraud, just like their number of 818,000 jobs that they said they created turned out to be a fraud.
President Trump, thank you. I'll let you respond, Vice President Harris. Well,
okay, so she goes off. I'll let you respond, and they let her just fire away. Well, here's the thing, Lee.
Trump was right.
Trump was right. Yes. But this is what the FBI has been doing, yeah. and this is really pernicious. Again, they are lying at every level for the Democrats, whether it's, oh, that laptop, Hunter Biden, no, that's Russian disinformation, when they had it in their possession and knew damn well it wasn't Russian disinformation. That's the level of the lying by the FBI. Now they've got to fix the crime stats for the Democrats. I mean, it's getting ridiculous what they have to fix for the Democrats, right, to alter reality 1984 style. So what they've been doing is disincluding, selectively disincluding the largest cities in the country from the crime stats.
Bingo. And what's that going to do? It's going to
lower
skew
the crime.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the Democrats are running around going, oh, migrant crime's not bad. Where's the worst migrant crime? In these cities. So what do you have to do now that the FBI is lying against? Why we call them the FBI lie? I mean, they never tell the truth. It's always what will make the Democrats look better. That's what we'll say. And if anybody says anything else, we'll censor it at Facebook, through the back door, through the trap door. And there's such a bunch of thugs about it, as we've learned in the last 2 weeks. And they are thugs. When you show up uninvited, unannounced at 9 a.m. at the home in America of the CEO of Telegram. The FBI did that. And demand he build you a back door into Telegram so that you can censor. And then you take down true things, which is their record during COVID, and you leave up fake things. Now they're faking the crime stats. Lee, listen to this. There's two sets of crime stats, okay? There's the FBI lying, useless crime stats, the ones with the worst cities left out. And then there's the self-reported crime stats. Those go through actual reports by citizens, regardless of whether Democrats control the city or not. Violent crime up 37% since Joe Biden took office. That is a hell of an accomplishment. Like if I set out to do that as my policy goal, I would struggle. That would be, I mean, in just 3 years, I got to get that done. They got that done. 16 violent crimes per 100,000 when they took office in 2021, they were sworn in. It is at 23 now per 100,000. That is a massive jump in violent crime. So you have this debate, Lee, in which David Muir is fact-checking Trump. Trump's got to fact-check him back. Trump got it right. But look,
yeah.
I mean,
Muir was just sitting there waiting on him to say that.
Yeah, he
had it right in front of him.
And that's why Mark Pence, like, basically what these moderators did was debate prep so they could hit Trump.
Yeah.
Not her, Trump. Watched his speeches, watched his videos, watched his previous debates, try to figure out what he would bring up, and they're ready for it. To the point where they've called the city manager in Springfield.
Exactly, yeah.
To try to get, somebody to debunk the eating the ducks out of the pond story, yeah. Which By the way, I have huge stack of stuff today. Police reports, video. People have been going to the county commission in Oakland since for months complaining about Haitians doing all of this stuff. So they lied about that too. Look, Ann Coulter, I'm sorry, not Ann Coulter, Megyn Kelly. Wow, where was that? Megyn, that was, it's Friday, I'm really tired.
Yes, okay.
Megyn Kelly, oh my gosh, said Republicans have to learn from this. You've got to stop doing these debates on these liberal media stations. There should never be another ever debate by any one of our candidates, you know, on an alphabet soup network, except maybe Fox. That's it.
Well, one of the big stories, I think, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, is the moderators. Much more aggressive, much into fact-checking, not on Kamala Harris. No follow-ups. Fact, not opinion. There was no follow-ups with her. And there was a bunch with Trump. But it wasn't just people in the moment thinking to themselves, these two moderators thinking to themselves, I wonder how accurate this is. It wasn't instinct. It was preparation. They prepared. They studied Donald Trump's all his debates and his stump speeches. And they were ready to fact check the former president.
Just the former president, not Kamala Harris. Yeah, Mark Penn wrote an article with, who's the other guy who wrote it? With Andrew Stein. And he said, as we reviewed video and we compared notes, we became concerned about the role ABC and what it did to our democracy. They said the moderators were supposed to be neutral and they were supposed to be neutral referees, but they decided in advance to fact check Trump and not Kamala.
And in fact, part of this op-ed they've got in today's Wall Street Journal says when referees put their thumbs on the scale, the game changes. The results have to be thrown out. We are robbed of our time and democracy is drained of its meaning. A presidential debate shouldn't be a staged wrestling match. It should be a feature between two candidates on a level playing field so voters can make up their minds.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. I always shoot straight with you. I do. And Donald Trump knew when he agreed to that debate that the executive for Disney who oversees ABC was, she and her husband's very good friends with Kamala Harris. She had hosted multiple fundraisers for Kamala Harris or donated to her going back to the 1990s. Such good friends, her husband and Doug Emhoff, the husband of Kamala Harris, you know, such good friends. They'd been either extraordinary friends or best friends. New York Times referred to them as both in two separate pieces. They introduced Kamala and Doug. Okay, so I'm gonna give you know a lot of shade to ABC News and the moderators. What they did was unethical. It was dirty. It was sleazy. But what was Trump thinking agreeing to this? And he knew he was headed into a disaster. He could have still pulled the plug when he went on Hannity on the 4th of September. And he laid all this out like I just did. All their best friends. I think she's going to have, Trump said, I think she's going to have the questions in advance. Why? Why did you do it? Why would you do that? The Republic is on the line. She said no to Fox. We need to get smart. We need to stop doing dumb things. We need to stop accepting that they get to write the rules. And what day is this? Friday? Well, we're getting all kinds of fact checks. She lied her butt off through that whole debate to the point where the mainstream media isn't going to fact check her. The head of Goldman Sachs, the CEO, has to come out and said she lied. We didn't endorse her budget. We didn't say anything like that. She's just lying. But it didn't matter. It's too late. It's too late. Polymarkets. I like to look at polymarket instead of individual ones because polymarket measures the political betting market. She's up. She's up a couple points. You know, but make bad decisions. See things coming that you should see things coming. And by the way, I saw it coming. You could check my Twitter feed. I actually posted something over the weekend about this debate. And I said, I'm probably, you know, the only one dreading this debate. And I was dreading it. I didn't even talk about it the day before. I couldn't. I was too upset that he was doing it. And I wrote that on Twitter. And I wrote exactly how it would go. And then it went down that way. Exactly as I said it would. to a T. It was as if I had watched it. Why? It's common sense how this is going to end. It's common sense how this is going to end. There's no other way that it could go. Here's what I wrote a few days before the debate, begging him to start prepping because I knew he wasn't. He likes to brag he doesn't prep. I knew she was prepping. I knew this would happen. I wrote this. I'm dreading it tonight. Why do we do this? Would it surprise anyone if Kamala's seen the questions? He's a weak debater and then he doesn't prep. He could be a great debater. On the few issues, he knew what he was talking about and had done the work because he was involved, like Afghanistan, he rocked her. You can't go in there to a debate like this having not prepped. He does not like to do debate prep. And now she's got the momentum I was afraid she'd get. She's got it. I don't trust polls, but I do trust the poly markets. Now we're looking at throwing the swing states, North Carolina and Georgia, into the toss-up column. Well, that's the price of not doing the work. If you're not willing to do the work, you don't walk into to ABC knowing you're going to have to debate the moderators. You don't do it, but he did. He did it. That's on him. It's not on them. And I mean, I don't blow smoke. I mean, I will tell you. I wrote this back on September 8th. This may be an unpopular opinion, but Donald Trump is not a good debater. He's the best campaigner I've ever seen, but that doesn't translate to being a good debater. It's not that he can't do it. It's that he undercuts himself by refusing to prepare, and it shows. She's going to give it the best 90 minutes of her life. She will rapid fire lies at him. And if he doesn't have command of the facts and comebacks like usual, he could actually lose. I wrote days before the debate, begging him. I tagged everyone whose Twitter feed I have in that campaign and beg them, somebody get to him, beg him to debate. It's still not, you know, beg him to prep. It's still not too late. 2 days would do it. That's all he needed. For instance, I wrote, does Trump even know that it broke recently that Biden and Harris caught 99 illegals on the terror watch list at the border and turned them loose in the interior? He's never mentioned it. That broke in August. From the House Judiciary Committee, they got actual documents from the Department of Homeland Security. Indisputable. He's never mentioned it. Please, someone close to him, I wrote, show him this, have Trump stop what he is doing now and spend the next few days preparing facts and figures and responses. She will rapid fire lies at him, and if he doesn't have a command of the facts and the comebacks like usual, he could actually lose. Trump had a poor debate against Biden. He did. That was largely unnoticed by our side because Biden defeated himself with his dementia. If Trump performs like he did in the Biden debate, he could lose. Trump misses way too many opportunities, I wrote, because he clearly has him prepared. He's got a fantastic shot to finally hold Biden-Harris accountable for the almost 4 years of hell they put the Americans through. And he needs to command the facts about those 4 years to do that. Again, I wrote this days before the debate. Wasn't popular. But my aim isn't to be popular, it's to be right. And I don't like what I'm writing, I want to be right. I nailed it. I just retweeted it yesterday. See, told you. If I can see it, the people around him should have seen it and should have said, do not do this debate, cancel this debate, whatever it takes, if you're not willing to prepare. And he wasn't. Now, the good news is Trump has the best recovery time of any politician I've ever seen. It's about 2 weeks. The bad news is that next week the voting starts in two of the swing states. So this is why they wanted to put this debate where they put it on the calendar, which I also explained. And they know he'll recover. He does. He shouldn't. So many other politicians would be finished by many of the things Trump does and says and the gaffes. He's not. I've never seen anything. He is truly Teflon Don. But it's going to take him a couple of weeks to come back from this, and we're going to need a couple of gaffes from her. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't trust the polls, but I do trust the poly markets. They've just been historically very right, especially poly market. The individual ones can go up and down, and there's some bias in those too, because more on the left or more on the right like to use them to bet. But yeah, the poly markets across the board, she's up. She wasn't. She'd been losing. So we got to take a deep breath, cross our fingers, and pray to God. Now, the good news is The good news is, when you look at the top 10 stories for the last 2 days in this country, it's not this way this morning, but it was the last 2 days, two of them were about Springfield, Ohio. Why? People are like, cats and dogs eating ducks? What? And they looked it up and went, oh my gosh, they found Springfield, Ohio. They had to do their own work, but they found it. So bad that the governor of that state's now had to send the state troopers in to try to quell the Haitian disaster there, right? Which tells you what? It struck a chord. So he may be able to recover from this as that news gets out. That's, again, trended 2 days, two top 10 articles in the country. People are seeing this. They're hearing about the 20,000-strong Haitian flood in a 58,000-population city and going, oh, my God, this could happen in my town. But he needs a good weekend. She needs a bad weekend. Yo, what a week. Just heard Lee talking about the tragic story at Bell's Crossing. And I'm going to read my inbox. Just the communications I've received from Greenville County Schools this week are bonkers. Start with this. Tragic update and search for 8-year-old South Carolina boy who ran off from Bell's Crossing. Found his body in a body of water just hours after he disappeared. Lionel Ramirez Cervantes, 8 years old, ran off from the school. He was out on the playground, took off. According to the Greenville County Sheriff's Office, he was autistic and somewhat nonverbal. Last seen near the school's playground. Staff chased after the youngster, but he got over a fence. Managed to disappear before they could catch up with him. Following his disappearance, authorities scoured the local area before a dive team discovered his body just a short distance from the school in a pond. Terribly tragic. Headline, day before. Still suffering the effects of the Winder, Georgia shooting. Copycats all over the place because the media glorifies those shooters. They do. You ever notice something, by the way? And I just noticed this as a reporter. It has long been part of the Associated Press style book, which we all followed, that if it's a juvenile committing a crime, even murder, you don't use their name most of the time. You don't use their name. You've seen that, right? Underage, not charged. Like, for instance, the 17-year-old that shot that NFL player, Purcell, out in L.A., In the chest, right? Do you know his name? No, you don't know his name. Why? He's under 18. They didn't print it. Didn't print it. You seen his photo? No, you haven't. Why? Well, they're protecting him. He's under 18. The only exception to this, have you noticed this, that the media makes is for school shooters. They blast their name everywhere. They put their face everywhere. Why? Glory. One of more school shootings if you don't glorify the shooter with fame. You don't have more school shootings. I mean, by God, how are you going to take the guns? Have you noticed that? That is the only time they don't do it. The rest of the time, you get this self-righteous, we don't publish his name because he's underage. Media does that on purpose. Leads to headlines like this. 4 Greenville County students charged with making threats. Expulsion recommended. It's being pursued right now. It's a process. That's why they can't do it right away. Blue Ridge Middle School, Woodmont Middle School, Greer Middle School, Riverside High School. Online threats, copycat threats. And then there's my inbox. And folks, at the point I'm making here, you got a parent. In our society, the way that children are coming up now and the way that children our kids go to school with are coming up now, expecting the school to be the be-all and end-all and take care of everything, it's just, you can't do it. You can't do it. I mean, this is my inbox this week, okay? My kids are safe. They're in virtual school. They're thriving there. One of my kids actually finished school 2 years early, and she's in college, essentially. Not in high school. And you know what? This week, I was so grateful for that. This is my inbox, okay? Because my kids are zoned for these schools, and they do, you know, they do sports, extracurricular activities at these schools. We just don't attend during the day. That's how it works if you're in virtual, which I love. I recommend it highly. My kids are absolutely thriving in it. Let's start with Riverside High School, shall we? Actually, yeah. It's just the first. The Greenville County School Superintendent, Dr. Bert Royster, and Greenville County Sheriff Hubert Lewis asked for parents' help in ensuring effective reporting of potential threats. Monitor your child's social media account closely. Help control the false spread of threats and misinformation and ensure effective reporting occurs. Have your child follow the See Something, Say Something protocols. We understand the tragedy in Winder, Georgia has created a great concern among students. After such a horrific event, it is common to see an increase in reports of potential threats locally and across the nation. That's going on here, but don't worry. We've brought the dogs in to detect weapons. Fantastic. Fantastic. Next message, Riverside High School. Evolve weapon detection system. It's active. We're going through the school looking for weapons, but understand we're not going to get them all. So if you see something, say something. That's the next email. I mean, I'm going through the, and reading these and going, what the? Riverside Middle School. Kid brings a knife. Don't worry. We found it. Rumors of other weapons. Mom and dad, hey, if you hear something, if they tell you about something, have a conversation, pass the threats on from social media. This is just my inbox. This is nuts. And that's just Riverside Middle and Riverside High. I'm not picking on them. That's just where it was zoned for. You probably got something similar from the school that you went to. Here's another one. Riverside Middle School. Another email in my inbox. This is Matthew Keith, principal of Riverside Middle School. Everything is safe at the school, but we want to give you several updates about the multi-tool knife, threats made, student charged by law enforcement, recommended by expulsion. Don't worry, though. We got him. Please remind your child that bringing a weapon of any kind to school, even if there's no threats made, is never okay. Oh, check your child's backpack every day before they leave school for school to make sure there's no weapons in there. Folks, the parents who need to be checking their kids' backpacks for weapons aren't. They're not. Second, I want you to know that due to ongoing questions and continued rumors, we had grade level assemblies this morning. Folks, the idea that the schools are going to parent your kids and your kids are going to be safe there, we need to rethink that. They can't do it all. They can't do it all. And look, if this scares you and bothers you like it does me, to get, I have three more I didn't get to in this segment. All of them other incidents. There are a lot of other great school options that don't include sending your child to a public school in this county. And they're really worth checking out. Folks, sounding off on the first hour of the show, me pointing out just something I noticed as a journalist. Read any article where the perp is underage, including the shooting out in L.A. NFL player, top round draft pick, gets, you know, shot in the chest because he won't turn over the Rolex. Kid 17, they don't print his name. Go do a school shooting. You're going to see his name and face everywhere. You seen the face of the 17-year-old shooter? No. Out in L.A.? Shot an NFL player, right? You see that? Of course not. They're protecting him. That's their journalistic policy, right? Unbelievable. Shoot Ricky Pearsall. Plug him right in the chest. We won't know your name. We won't know your face. You can go get it from the criminal records if you want it, but the media won't report it. Unless you do a school shooting, then you're going to be super duper famous. Name everywhere, face everywhere, and we're dealing with it in this district this week because the media does this in order to try to get our guns. They want more school shootings. They do, I'll say it. And that's why they print the name and the face. No other time do they do that. They're always pro-perp. Well, we have to protect the child. Not with school shooting, including when they're still alive. But shoot Ricky Pearsall because he won't give you his Rolex in the chest because you tried to kill him. We'll protect you all day long. No chance to get people's guns from that. Because it's so obvious the perp shouldn't have had the gun. Anyway, it's absolutely outrageous. Texter writing, it all depends on the color, nationality, and sexual slant. That determines if the name is released by the media.